WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, filling in for Terry Gross.
Ronnie, there's one more thing. My house is three houses.
What, rentals?
No, I live in all three houses.
In all three?
With my family, they're connected.
All three houses?
That's right. Big family.
I see.
That's Bill Paxton in a scene from the HBO series Big Love, trying to subtly convey that he's a polygamist, with a different wife in each of his three suburban Salt Lake City homes. The third season of Big Love premieres January 18th. Our guests are its creators, Will Sheffer and Mark Olson, who've also written many of the episodes. They're writing partners and life partners. In Big Love, Paxton plays Bill Henriksen. He grew up on a religious compound in Utah that practices polygamy. The members of the compound consider themselves true followers of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon faith, although the Mormon Church doesn't recognize them and disavows polygamy and compounds like this. Bill left the compound at age 14, and his ongoing conflicts with its leaders have been threatening his family, his chain of Walmart-like stores, and maybe even his life. Here's a clip from the first episode of Season 3. Bill's first wife, Barb, is confronting her husband because she's discovered he's pursuing a fourth wife without consulting her first.
Hello?
Just what are you doing, Bill?
What are you talking about?
Anna.
Anna? What about her?
I just went to see her.
What? You had no right to do that.
I went to see her and just get it out in the open and tell her that if you're dating her, we are all dating her.
Barb, I'm not dating. I'm just trying to figure out if she's receptive to our beliefs, you know, part of our journey.
Whatever.
No, not whatever. I need to see if there's anything there before involving my wives and the complications that a potential new wife brings.
Well, and good. However, she tells me that she's not interested in marriage and that you know it.
She'll come around. And when did you sign off on a fourth?
Bill, the first time it snuck up on me on my deathbed.
The second time the babysitter bit me. Now this time,
I want to say, and if it's going to happen, it is going to happen on my watch.
What on earth is going on? Have you been fighting with Nikki or Margie?
Things aren't just going to happen to me without my having a say in it.
You've always had a say, but this has got to happen at my pace.
Fine. We'll do it at your pace. You got 3 days to figure it out. Either this is holy and we're all dating her, or it's illicit and you're going to dump her.
Terry spoke to Will Sheffer and Mark Olson in 2007.
Mark Olson, Will Sheffer, welcome to Fresh Air. Let's start with the beginning. How did you come up with the idea to use polygamy as a way to explore the American family?
We're just batting around ideas of possible new shows for the upcoming season that we might like to develop. And the word out of my mouth was, I know, polygamy. And Will's response was...
My response was, yuck. No one's going to want to watch a show about polygamists. And, you know, I realized that Mark was really talking about, you know, a family drama that had the concept of marriage deeply embedded in it. It was a perfect show for HBO, I realized. And he showed me with the research that there were so many stories there and that it was such a subversive way to look at telling stories about marriage and family. And Mark always says this, that it was a time at which the Republican majority was sort of, you know, really owning the idea of family values.
Now I can date the concept. It was shortly after the Bush inauguration. And I became somewhat offended at some of the excesses of that dialogue, particularly notions of what is a family, what isn't a family, what is a marriage, what isn't a marriage, what society chooses to value. In both those arenas, and this was sort of our response to it.
It's a strange response because, well, for a lot of obvious reasons, but let me play a clip from the show in which the head of the compound and the polygamist family that's the main characters in this have broken away from the compound, but the head of a compound that's polygamous is speaking with a journalist who's interviewing him, and he's explaining polygamy and explaining their values and explaining the principle. And this is Harry Dean Stanton as the head of the compound.
You see, the principle of plural marriage was God's sacred gift to us. But in 1890, the so-called leaders in Salt Lake buckled to outside pressure and repudiated polygamy and the teachings of our beloved prophet, Joseph Smith. We alone have kept the principle alive. We are the one true church.
And the violence, the coercion of young girls, the abuses committed against children?
We root it out. We crush it. I have 31 children and 187 grandchildren, and I love every one of them. A lot of times their mothers will say, leave Grandpa alone, and I'll say, let them come to me. Precious darlings, all of them.
And the gays, Papa.
But
the homosexuals.
Oh, the gays. If the Supreme Court says yes to the privacy rights of homosexual persons, surely it's time to recognize our rights to live in peace, too.
That's a scene from Big Love with Harry Dean Stanton. I should mention, he's the bad guy. He's the heavy. He's the villain in this. And that's such an interesting line that he says at the end there, because the argument is usually made the other way around, that, you know, if homosexuals are given the right to marry, then what's to prevent polygamy, and what's to prevent a man from marrying an animal? tell me about writing, and you wrote this episode, tell me about writing this monologue for Harry Dean Stanton and ending it with his remark about homosexuality, that if they get their rights, and certainly polygamists should too.
Well, the idea was never meant to only be a metaphor for gay marriage or anything like that. And I think that the interesting thing about polygamy right now in Utah and Arizona is that the polygamists themselves who live on the compounds are using this argument in order to drive the agenda to decriminalize polygamy. We never made an attempt to connect the two on the show. We don't take a stand on being for polygamy or against polygamy. Certainly, the kind of crimes that are committed on the compounds in Utah, we don't defend them in any way. And there's a lot of heinous stuff going on in the dark recesses of the compounds of Utah and Arizona.
Well, let's get back to the main family that the story follows. They've broken away from this compound, and it's, you know, a husband and three wives. What do you think their understanding is of why they're polygamists?
I think it depends on which member of the family we're talking about. I don't think there is a collective response to that. Bill, who is the one who made a strong journey away from polygamy when he was thrown out of the compound as a teenager, and certainly repudiated its abuses, he would claim to have seen the light. He would claim to have been given instruction on how to return to the underlying principles of polygamy, redacted of the abuses. I think that's his mission. He thinks it's God-given. That's what he's about. I think Barb, his first wife, is, at least initially, was largely along for the ride. It was her deep love for her husband, Bill, who she had been married to prior to polygamy for a good 12 years, that she believed in him. She had faith in him, and although she did not have personal testimony for the principle, she believed that he did. And through that, vicariously, she was willing to go along with it.
She's the only character who has a strong LDS upbringing and background. So this would have been, kind of very iconoclastic of her to make this move to follow Bill. It's basically risks excommunication from the Mormon Church, which she had a strong connection with growing up and through her family.
Nikki, Bill's second wife, she's altogether a different can of worms. She grew up on the compound. This is status quo normal for her, this life, this belief, this passion. And then youngest wife, Margene, is sort of, you know, a waif that had been casting about on the seas of domestic discord as she grew up. And she saw a family that worked. She saw a family that, to her non-judgmental eyes, appeared to love each other. And she gravitated toward becoming a member of that family. So it's a complex stew.
I just have to ask you about casting Chloe Sevigny. She is she's one of the three wives married to the Bill Paxton character in Big Love. And she's the most traditional, the most repressed, the least overtly sexual. And what's so interesting about casting Chloe Sevigny in this role is that in many of her roles, she's been, you know, very extroverted and very sexualized. So it's in some ways really casting against type, but she's so effective in this very repressed role.
You know, it's funny. We actually wrote the part for Chloe. We'd never met her. We only knew her from her film work, from her characterization of Lana Tisdale in Boys Don't Cry. But she was who we crafted the role in mind for. And it was oddly satisfying that we heard the tapes of a Sunstone conference in Salt Lake City, a group of progressive Mormons who sit around and talk about issues, current issues and whatnot. And they had a group of polygamist women in to review the show, and they were talking about the character of Nikki. And all of them applauded that character, saying, "Oh my God, she is our worst nightmare. We all worry about our husbands bringing home a Nikki into the fold and having to deal with a Nikki." So, you know, Chloe's doing a great job with it.
And sometimes you just know if you cast someone, like, you know, against type, that you're going to get this tremendous kind of subtext, you know, I guess, for lack of a better word. And Nikki is so manipulative and unconscious in what she does. And I think that Chloe manages to bring so much, repressed energy, maybe because of the against type casting that we did with her.
You had to learn some new language to write for these characters, words like plural marriage. What are some of the words that are used to describe polygamy and that you had to learn to write in the language?
It's not only learning to write in the language, it's learning to say without cringing. You know, the first time my eyes stumbled on the word a sister wife, that in itself was my first response is it made my skin crawl.
That's the word that wives use to describe their fellow wives within the marriage, sister wife.
Correct. And it at a minimum describes a relationship that was a little too close to comfort for me.
And again, like kind of going towards the things that make you go yuck with this kind of material is the word patriarchy, which has a different kind of meaning in this structure. It's got a larger religious context than the Mormon religion and what they call themselves, the fundamentalist Mormons, who are the practicing polygamists in compound life. Our characters are independent polygamists. They live apart from both the Mormon church and the fundamentalist Mormon church.
Will Sheffer and Mark Olson are creators of the HBO series Big Love. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's interview with Will Sheffer and Mark Olson, creators of the HBO series Big Love, which begins season 3 January 18th. It's about a polygamous family in suburban Salt Lake City that split from a polygamous compound. The family's made up of a husband and three wives. The wives alternate nights with their husband. At one point, he's become so overwhelmed by pressures at work and deadly conflicts with the compound that he asks his wives for one night off each week. In this scene, Bill, played by Bill Paxton, is in bed with his senior wife, Barb, played by Jean Triplehorn. She's angry at his proposal, and he's defending the idea.
Honey, you get 4 or 5 nights a week to catch up. I just need one right now, just for a while.
All right, one night off is one thing, but the fact that you need it scheduled on a consistent basis.
Please don't be this way. I don't get to hunt or fish anymore.
But if you can't juggle everything, then you should let something else go. Not your wives.
Well, it's nothing to let go. You know, I spend all day trying to keep ahead of the eight ball.
You don't have to take over Utah. You don't have to beat Walmart for us. We don't need it.
Well, somebody's got to bring home the bacon. And the bacon.
All right, downtime is one thing. A night off is different. This is what you signed up for.
I want it put on the schedule so it's official. And no one gets hurt like last night.
So it is about one of us.
No! I'm not asking for the moon. Please, just schedule it. If you don't, I'll pick the night myself.
Fine. You don't want to share a bed with us?
Why are you being like this?
I'm sleeping on the couch until you're ready to shoulder the responsibilities you signed up for. If you want some alone time, you can have it.
I asked the creators of Big Love about this part of the storyline. Did you see this as a kind of polygamous metaphor for the strain on couples who want to have sex with each other and just can't find the time and don't have the energy? But it's like magnified by three times because it's a polygamous family.
Well, exactly. In that sense, it's uber family. And it's uber modern American family where you know, there's two, three breadwinners in a family and each breadwinner holds down two, three jobs. And, you know, everyone's multitasking with this and with that. And you know, society has become so competitive and so ramped up and amped up that success does depend on spreading oneself very thin. And so, too, in the polygamous world.
Yeah, moving faster than the speed of light to have it all. And, you know, that's a lot of what we deal with in the show. You know, even among the sister wives, you know, what does it mean to have it all? And, you know, how can people hold down all of these different dreams?
No, it's kind of paradoxical, I think, that, you know, because the sexual relationships within this polygamous family are a part of what the show is about, there are some sex scenes in it. And I would imagine that polygamous families are probably very, very conservative when it comes to any kind of sexual depiction in literature, movies, television. So even though multiple partners is so much a part of their lifestyle, the depicting of anything relating to sex, I imagine, would be very religiously offensive to them.
Truthfully, we're still trying to get that one right. We start from the premise that we do know they have sex. 35 to 40 children per family tends to suggest that. So the issue becomes, how does it become depicted? And we feel like we're getting closer on that one.
Well, they're obviously discreet. You know, this is a religious principle that they're all living. So there's a discretion, I think, in the way that they would go about their sexual politics or, you know, how they would arrange things. And then clearly we've got this dark side, you know, which the compound is sort of a window to, of much more kind of, you know, dark portrayals of sexuality that you have vis-a-vis Warren Jeffs and some of the crimes that are being prosecuted.
Yeah, I have to say, although after our first year aired, many in the polygamous community who responded very favorably to having the show portray their lifestyle and bringing them forward into the national conversation still drew the line at the way we represented their sexual lives and how we treated sex in the show. And I think most of them were women, and I think most of them were quite sincere, and I think there was a tremendous amount of validity to what they said. However, by the same token, there is a theme of sex that runs through the polygamous communities. And sometimes it can be abusive and sometimes it's, you know, less pernicious. But one of the critics of polygamy, a guy named John Llewellyn on the ground in Utah, says, guess what, folks? At the end of the day, this is about sex. Yeah, whether people want to admit it or not. From the male point of view, this is about having wives and having sex. So there's a debate there, you know, as to how it gets portrayed and what's really going on here.
Well, one of the things that makes that interesting is that, rightly or wrongly, I think we associate fundamentalist faiths with a certain amount of sexual repression.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. And there is definitely a kind of patriarchal repression that goes on the compounds in terms of how they use women, how they, you know, repress women, actually. And yet, in our family, we sort of see a sexual politics that's a little bit different. And the women have more of a modern modern outlook, you know, in terms of how they view their sexual politics in the family. You know, how Barb, in this current episode, uses a kind of withholding of sex to, you know, politically control Bill in this particular episode that's coming out this week. And, you know, also the way that the women and the sister wives use each other in order to support themselves in this family is different. It's more modern. It's more feminist. They, you know, have a different way of caretaking the children that enables other wives to go out and bring home the bacon and pursue careers. It's just a little bit, there is a kind of feminist thread that exists in our family, which I think does exist also in the independent polygamists that we've heard from since the show's been out.
Mark Olson and Will Sheffer are creators of the HBO series Big Love. They'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies in for Terry Gross. Let's get back to Terry's interview with Mark Olson and Will Sheffer, creators of the HBO series Big Love. Its third season premieres January 18th. It's about a polygamous family that broke away from a polygamous compound in Utah. The members of the compound consider themselves true followers of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon faith, although the Mormon church doesn't recognize them and disavows polygamy and compounds like this one.
Now, you are writing partners and producing partners, but you're also life partners. Did you meet first and then start writing together, or start writing together and then become a couple?
We started writing apart. Had a first date, which was a writerly version of "I'll show you mine if you show me yours," which was a swapping of scripts. And once they passed muster, then we entered into a deeper relationship.
And wait, if you didn't like each other's scripts, you wouldn't have gone any further, you think?
Not a prayer. A relationship does have to be built at least on a little bit of respect.
It's very true, very true. And but yeah, that was 16 years ago, and we definitely supported each other in our independent writing careers, and we edited and gave, you know, a lot of feedback. And then it was sort of, well, we're doing so much work on each other's scripts, we might as well just collaborate all the time.
Now, are there any stories that you've put into Big Love that come from either of your families?
Oh my gosh,
so much.
A whole lot. My family's sort of based in a small town in mid-state Nebraska, Hastings, Nebraska. Goes back generations on all sides of the family, and it's a huge, tumbling, intergenerational family that people tell bad jokes, people get their feelings hurt, people drink too much, people have lesser instincts and nobler instincts, and it's just a huge stew of love and hypocrisy and generosity. And
what I really love about Mark's family, and I think this relates somehow to Big Love, because it's such a specific world that we're dramatizing in Sandy, Utah. But Mark's family, there's not like a kind of a lot of therapeutic psychobabble. You know, whereas I'm from New Jersey, New York, and there's a lot of that kind of relationship talk and, you know, therapeutic talk. And Mark's family is kind of immune,
pre-Freudian,
immune from that. And so that kind of helps us with our enormously red state kind of dramatization of this Mormon world, you know. And so I really like that about Mark's family, and we can use a lot of stuff. And definitely Mark's mother has been, I have to say, a matriarch that we've drawn on and we do draw on continuously for our matriarchs.
Example?
Let's see. I think Lois has a pistol in the glove compartment of her car. That was my mom had her legendary pistol for a good couple years, and she was actually wrestled to the ground at a Bob Dole rally at the Hastings Chautauqua in 1976.
What was she doing with a pistol at a Bob Dole rally?
She was just carrying it in her purse. She was a harmless old woman who was going to the Bob Dole for vice president rally with her little pistol in her purse.
And she was going to support him, not shoot him, right?
Well, unfortunately, she didn't like what he had to say about some farm policy and some farm subsidy issues. And she did pull the gun out of her purse. As we were walking to the parking lot, there was no danger to anybody, saying, "When I heard what he had to say, I just shoulda," you know, and she imitated shooting the gun.
And that's when she was wrestled to the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. So your mother's pretty eccentric. I'm getting the picture here.
Well, but more than just eccentric, and hopefully, you know, the character Lois, who receives a lot of Mom's characteristics, is also hopefully more than just eccentric. She's a very smart woman, an incredibly well-educated woman with a big spirit for life and a big love of family, that wedded into a very patriarchal relationship. And those are the deeper currents of what I see in my mother is her struggle to remain an individual and to grow as an individual with the subservience really that was demanded by my father.
You're mentioning the character of Lois. I should explain for our listeners who don't know who Lois is. She is the mother of the Bill Paxton character. She's the mother of the main polygamist on the show, and she lives in the compound. She lives in the polygamous compound that her son broke away from, and she's very unpredictable, unreliable, kind of crazy, and kind of dangerous.
She is. She's a feisty character played by Grace Zabriskie with great flair, and she's a real eccentric, original kind of character.
Well, Mark Olson, Will Sheffer, thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
It's been a pleasure.
Mark Olson and Will Sheffer, creators of the HBO series Big Love, speaking with Terry Gross in 2007. Big Love's third season premieres January 18th.